Well, good morning. Thank you for tuning in to the online service known as the Youth Message. But we know that it's a very similar message as what I do at the 11 o'clock hour in the church, as we have person-to-person or face-to-face worship. But on the online service, since we haven't had the youth, we kind of have it a way where the youth can listen to the message online. Most of them have internet now, and with school starting back, we're hoping and praying that our youth can be back in church in person very soon. And we thank you for that. That is our prayer. The message for the 11 o'clock hour is abiding by the word. And my scripture text is John chapter 6, verse 51 through 58. We've been in the sixth chapter of John with the lectionary readings now for the past few weeks. So with that, I'd like to share from the New Living Translation, John chapter 6, verse 51 through 58. Now, we heard this in previous parts of John 6, but here in verse 51, Jesus saying it again. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh offered so that the world may live. Verse 52. Then the people began arguing with each other about what he meant. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? They asked. Jesus said again, I assure you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you cannot have eternal life within you. But those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them at the last day. For my flesh is the true food, and my blood the true drink. That's kind of a tongue twister. Let me do that one again. For my flesh is the true food, and my blood is the true drink. All who eat my flesh and drink my blood remain in me and I in them. I live by the power of the living Father who sent me in the same way. Those who partake of me will live because of me. Verse 58, I am the true bread from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever and not die as your ancestors did, even though they ate the manna. Now, verse 59 is just a commentary. He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. May God add his blessings to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of his holy and precious word. Now, we come together on the first Sunday of the month for what we call Holy Communion, and we go through that ritual. Because Holy Communion is a meal that we share together in the physical sense, what Jesus was talking about. So when we receive the bread in the physical sense, in the service of Holy Communion, what we're doing is we're receiving God's power and love and the promise of life, eternal life, and more importantly, forgiveness. So how can we get all that from eating some bread? Well, Jesus said, I am the bread that I will give, is my flesh. So when we receive this special bread, we are receiving Jesus' flesh. Now, not in the physical sense, but in the spiritual sense, and also when we drink the cup, which is juice, we're also receiving the blood of Christ shed for the forgiveness of sin. But if you eat this bread, Jesus said, you will live. And that's a promise. But even more than that, if you eat this bread, one translation says, I will abide in you and you will abide in me. Now, I like that word abide. In my title, the sermon is abiding in the word or by the word. You see, to abide is to know that no matter what comes our way, we will not be deserted, nor left to face the matter on our own. Christ comes to live within us and take up residence in our heart and in our spirit. Now, the people there were seeing Jesus because he was preaching to them, and they saw him, and they didn't understand all that stuff. But now we do not have any pictures of God. Now, sometimes you'll see a picture of Jesus on the wall of a church or something like that, but we really don't know exactly what he looked like. The Bible says that he was comely, which meaning he was just a common-looking Mid-Eastern in the state of Israel at the time. Probably olive skin, we don't know. Nobody really knows. But in the story that I read a while ago in the scriptures, Jesus said that he had came from God. The Bible says that if we have seen Jesus, then we have seen God, because they are the same. So if you want to know what Jesus is like, then we just have to read our Bibles and just picture the stories that are going on and put ourselves in those stories, because in our Bibles it says Jesus was honest and he told the truth. Jesus was loving and he treated everybody alike. Nice if he did. He was not a nice guy and he treated everybody equally. Jesus was faithful and he lived the way God wanted him to live. And that's the stories that we have in the Bible. The Bible has a lot of good things to say about Jesus. That's why we need to read the whole Bible. And it's important. If we really want to know what God is really like, all we have to do is read about Jesus in the Bible. Now, in our day and time, and especially with our language, Jesus was here. He probably spoke in Aramaic. He probably spoke in Greek and maybe even Hebrew. But our day and time, we have language that we call English. And our Bibles, most of them now are in English, and we understand that. But languages is a fascinating way of communicating, because without it we could not effectively communicate with each other, could we? Languages are means for connection with the world and with each other and also with God. You go to school and you communicate with one another in English, or our Hispanic friends in different language, Spanish, or around the world. But here we are this day and time in the year 2021, in the year of our Lord, we, who's listening to me, most likely speak English. But for Christians and many other religions around the world, sacred writings, they call them scripture. Even the Muslims in their holy book, they call it scripture. And it not only gives us our history of our faith and the people who came before us, but it also gives us a window into what we believe about God. The Bible is called the canon of God, which is like a measuring stick for truth and the basis of how we wish to live. Now, I said all that to say this. Language is an imperfect means of communication. And you say, why is that, preacher? Well, language is human, and human contrived. And no matter how carefully we use our language, it always remains an imperfect way of communication. And for the most part, that's okay. And we know that. We expect that. And we make allowances for that. Or do we? We were sitting around a dinner table. Our grandson, Charles, has got his RV parked here on our property. He doesn't live with us, but he comes at dinner time and eats with us. And we were just talking about that around the kitchen table. A lot of people talk around the kitchen table. And we were talking about different languages, and from like the north to the south. And, you know, I have a northern accent, and some things in the north it's the same, but we pronounce it different or say it different. But I think some of the things, and you can come to know that, because I think our greatest misunderstanding comes from the rifts in our own language. And these rifts typically occur in a few common ways. They come from idioms, and they also come from mishearing and misreading. And they also come from misinterpretation or misconstructing of symbols or languages or metaphors. Now, even me, I get my tongue around my eye too. Sometimes can't see what I'm saying when I was reading the scriptures just a little bit ago. And I had to go back and try to correct it. But think about this. I'll give you a few examples. But this is why it's so important that as we study the scriptures or we do word studies, we know exactly to the best of our ability what the words mean. Because in English alone, we have 100 idioms. Now, an idiom is a phrase in language that cannot be literally translated. And I'll give you an example. In English, we might say, "She takes after her father." We, as native speakers, know that what we mean by that. We mean that she looks a lot like her father. But we have a lot of people now coming into our country, learning English and different things. But for somebody that does not have the native English speaking, might say, "Imagine a girl running after her father down the road." Or think about this one. In English, we might say, "It's raining cats and dogs." Now, how terrified from somebody from another country to know about that. And they look and they see the rain coming down and I don't see no cats and dogs. Or how about these? "I can kill two birds with one stone." You've probably heard it a million times. I facetiously say it sometimes. Or, "She stabbed me in the back." Now, we know literally somebody stabbed you in the back, and what we mean by that is somebody was backbiting and turned against another friend or something like that. Or better yet, the theater phrase for good luck. You know, they go into, you're learning about plays and stuff in school, and they say, "Break a leg." That's crazy. But we need to be able to understand, because a lot of the things in the Bible and a lot of the things in our interpretations affect us in a lot of different ways in our life, or things that we believe. So when we begin to read with awareness and to delve into the rich metaphors of Scripture, we discover the depths of our faith that we have never imagined before. Truths have been missed, connection to Jesus that we may never experience. This is the kind of wisdom that we need. The wisdom of Solomon. The wisdom of discernment. We need humility about our humanness and our language and our commitment to abide in a relationship with God, so that when our reading and understanding is also divinely inspired, when we're reading the scriptures, we need to say, "Holy Spirit, teach me on what we're reading here today." Because the message of truth for our day and time, that we can walk with Jesus in living color in order to truly hear what he has to say for us, and that we can allow his words to resonate in our current lives and our current situations. So if we truly want to abide in the Word of God, the Son of the Eternal, we need to first abide by the mystery and the beauty of his language. And our only means is to describe the indescribable and to imagine the unimaginable. Imperfect, you bet. Factual, well, not meant to be true, but true, you bet, now and forever, because Jesus said he is the way, the truth, and the life. Well, I hope and pray you're all doing well. Tina 2, Travis, and Miss Carol Morgan, we're all looking forward to having you back again someday. So I hope and pray you're having a good day, and thank you for abiding with me in the scriptures.